Here we go. The first question we spoke about is whether Christianity is considered to be Avodah Zarah. What is Avodah Zarah for all of you visitors? Who knows what Avodah Zarah is?
Idol worship.
Very good. Is Christianity considered to be idolatry? So let's think about this. In terms of our topic of going into a church, if I would tell you that Christianity is idol worship and Christianity is idolatry, then what would you tell me about whether you would think? Again, don't tell me what you do. Tell me what you would think whether you could walk into a church. What would you think?
No.
You would think probably not, right? We'll have to see inside, but probably you'd think probably not. If I told you that Christianity was not idol worship, then what would you tell me? Do you think it's okay to walk into a church?
Yeah.
Maybe yes, right? Say maybe yes? Maybe yes. Yeah. Makes sense. Okay, good. Now, do you think that Christianity is idol worship? Again, those that are in the class, we spoke about this already, but for all of you far people, just give me in 1 minute or less, do you think that Christianity is idol worship? Yes. Why?
Because
they said three rather than one.
Good. By the way, you can tell me your names, and I might remember.
Your name?
What?
Megan.
Nice to meet you. Yes. Rachel.
No, because they believe instead of like we say, oh Hashem, and kind of like praise this non-physical element, they have got statues in the church. They've got metal crafts of their god, and it's like, and that's what they worship. That's who they pray to, and that's their god, as opposed to like our god just being.
Great. Okay. Basically, in short, that we have Hashem, we have God, and they say, praise be to God and Jesus and the Holy Ghost, right? Something like that. Again, I'm not an expert on the Christian religion, but something like that. Okay, we know, we spoke about it a little bit already. The Christian has something called the Trinity. Okay, the Trinity, of course, is the threesome. Now, the question is, if you're going to tell me that there's something in addition to God, there's God, and then there's His Son, who's also God, but He's not really God, but He is God, and then there's the Holy Ghost, who nobody knows what it is, right? So, where does that leave us? We have no idea. So, I think we mentioned in this class before that even in Christianity itself, there's a bit of a contradiction here about the status of Jesus. And is He really a God or not a God? And how can He be both? How can He be the Son of God and yet also be part of God? So, I mentioned to you guys that that's something that if you ask Christians, like even the philosophers, they'll agree to you that it's a contradiction that they can't explain. They don't really understand it. Okay.
How can you pray to something your whole life that you don't understand?
That's a great question. Now, I'll tell you something, though. Just to be fair, just to be fair, okay, this is not for today. That's for next time you guys come back next year, or somebody else comes back next year. Just to be fair, if I would tell you that even if you don't understand what God is and you have problems with God, according to the Jewish religion, do you still have to pray to Him?
Yes.
The answer is yes. So they'll tell you it's the same thing. Well, I don't really know what my God is, but I still believe that I have an obligation to pray to Him. And therefore, I'm going to do just that. So what are you going to say? Okay, good for you. You know, if you're praying to your God, then I have no problems. As long as you're not killing Jews, I'm happy, right? Maybe. Yeah.
Are there still sheets going around?
I have no idea. Anybody have sheets?
I
made 30 copies. I thought we have around 30 people here, but. Everybody with me? So that's, what did you say your name was again? That's, what's her? Bethany? Rachel, right. That's Rachel, I think that's the answer to your question, which is, again, not for now, but we have to understand that when we talk about Judaism, basically, you know, we have also an idea that we have to have faith, and even if we don't understand, we try to believe, and we try to understand what we believe, but at the end of the day, we still have to do what we have to do. Okay. All right, so let's go back to this. So basically, we have a situation where, again, the Christians are worshiping something which is called the Trinity. They don't really understand exactly what it is, but for us, the halakhic question is the Trinity considered to be idol worship or not? So the answer is that for Jews, everybody agrees that for Jews, it is absolutely forbidden and it's absolutely considered to be idolatry. For non-Jews, there's a question in the authorities whether a non-Jew, according to the Torah, is a non-Jew allowed to worship Christianity or not. Some people say that for non-Jews, maybe Christianity and the Trinity is something which is not considered to be idol worship because they include God also and they throw in a few other things with it, but basically they believe in God. And others say, well, no. Once you have the Trinity, that's automatically considered to be idol worship. And if it's considered to be idol worship, then it is forbidden even for a Christian to worship Christianity. So I'm not here to tell Christians what to do. Okay, that's not my job. I'm not going to tell them. If they would ask me, I'll tell them, you know, what the issue is. But that's not my job here. Our job is to discuss the Jews, okay? I think all of you are Jewish, unless you haven't converted yet and you're studying, but I'm assuming most of you are Jewish, okay? So the question is, for all us Jews, how does this issue lead to a halachic conclusion about walking into churches? So the first thing that you'll tell me is, if we just agree that for Jews, Christianity is considered to be idol worship, then do you guys think that you should be allowed to walk into a house of idol worship? What's the answer? Probably not. How do we know that? So let's look here for a second. Okay, let's look at one or two of these sources, and then we're going to take it to the next step. Look at source number one. Did everybody get a sheet yet? By now? You guys all have? Does everybody have a sheet? Almost. Okay, if you don't have enough, then share. Or if somebody wants to go make more copies, you can go make more copies. So there's the first source here is a Gemara in Tractate Avodah Zarah. Okay? Surprisingly, obviously. Besechat Avodah Zarah Daf Yud Zayin. Look what it says here. It says, according to Pasuk, it says, Harchek me'al hadar kecha. You should distance yourself from your path, from this thing. The Gemara says, what is that pasuk talking about? What thing should you distance yourself from? Look what it says. It says, Zu minut v'harishut. Okay, that refers to minut, which is heresy. Okay, what we call kfira in Hebrew. Okay, anti-God, not believing in God. V'harishut is the government. Okay, that we're not going to get into now. That's a whole other discussion. Val tikrav al petach beta, don't go close to it. It's how, to the opening of that house. Zu zona, that refers to the house of a prostitute. Okay, that again, we're not going to talk about today. Vikama, how much? Amar Rav Chisda, 4 amos. 4 amos. So we're focusing on the first one about minut. Minut means heresy or hypocrisy. In this context, minut means something which is against God. Okay, not believing in God or believing in idol worship. What do you see from here? You see from here that you're supposed to stay away, at least 4 amos away from a house, a building of idol worship. Okay? Everybody got that? Good. The next source is really interesting. It's not so much of a halachic source, but it's just to give you an interesting perspective here. It's source number 2. From the same Gemara. It says, Rabbi Chanina and Rabbi Yonatan Abu Kazli Be'urcha. Rabbi Chanina and Rabbi Yonatan were walking on the way. They got to a fork in the road. They got to an intersection. And they want to know which way to go. Now listen to this, guys. Okay? Chad Patsi Apitcha Devoyat Kochavim. One way went right to a house of idol worship. The Chad Patsi, and one went right up a pincha to the opening of Bezonon, basically a house of harlotry. What do they call a house? There's a name for these houses. I forgot what it's called. A funny name for it. What'd you say? Maybe. That's one name you could call. I think there's another name also. But yeah, basically a place where there are lots of prostitutes. Okay. Great. What'd you say? Okay, fine. So you said the same thing. Very good. Fine. So the question is, we have these special, these Torah scholars, these Rabbi Chanina and Rabbi Yonatan, very holy people. And they want to know, okay, they have to get to their destination, and either way they go, they're going to go right in front of Avodah Zarah, or right in front of Gilui Arayot, in front of the prostitutes. Which one's better? Imagine such a choice, right? Which one should they go past? Which one should they go in front of? Yeah, they're both pretty bad, right?
Well, if you like walk in front of a prostitute, you're more likely to go into the house than if you walk in front of a church. Churches aren't.
Okay, could be. Good,
maybe
good, good.
Maybe you have to decide for yourself, where's your desire, where's your stronger...
Which one is your weaker point, right? Which one is your stronger point? Okay, good, that's another interesting idea. Let's see what they did, okay? Let's see what he said. So one of them said to the other one, so the first one said, well, okay, why don't we, I think this is what Julia said, more or less, okay, why don't we go in front of the house of Avodat Kochavim, the house of idol worship? Why? Because for that, we don't have such a Yetzer Hara anymore. Okay, Yetzer Hara is the evil inclination. The evil inclination for idolatry was conquered at some point in the time of the Talmud. Okay, at some point, they basically got rid of the Yetzer Hara for idol worship in a way, again, doesn't exist today. Back in the day, you know, these people were running after the idols to worship. I mean, you can't even imagine what it was like. But today we don't really have that. Okay, Christianity, idol worship, very nice. But who here wants to sit there and bow down to some statue? Okay, we don't really feel like doing that. So he says, let's go to the idol worship house because there's less of a chance that our Yetzer Hara will get us and we're going to go inside and do anything wrong. I'm really eat up, but the other one says, wait 1 second, I have a better idea. Let's go in front of the house, in front of the Bezonon. v'nechpayel yetzran, and there we'll have a greater yetzar hara. But get what? Guess what? We'll get more reward, we'll get more sachar if we go in front of there and we conquer our yetzar hara and don't do anything. Can you believe that? Yeah. What's your name?
Natanya.
Very nice name.
Thank
nice
you.
Nice to meet you.
I heard that you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to make things harder for yourself.
Excellent. So, Natanya, you're absolutely correct. That's absolutely right. You're not allowed to put yourself in a situation where you might risk falling prey to your yetzer hara. What's the answer here? The answer here is, okay, that they had to get to the edge of the city, wherever that might have been. And either way they went, they were stuck. Either way, they're going to have to go right in front of this place or right in front of that place. So the question is, which one is worse? So they could tell them, just don't move, stay where you are, but it's not so practical. Okay. You can imagine, you get stuck here in the building. You can't walk out this way or that way because the Waldorf is on this side, and the Waldorf is obviously, you walk in the Waldorf, and who knows what's going on inside of there. And on the other side is, I don't know what's there, but you know, it's okay, you're stuck here, you can't move. Obviously, that's ridiculous, right? You know, they can't move. So there's a machloket here, which one they should go to, which one is the more of the Yetzer Hara. But what do you see from here, guys? Do you see from here that it's a problem to even walk past a house of idol worship? Maybe, right? It sounds like they would have preferred to avoid it. But what does that mean? That means, again, this is not a halachic point, but from you see from the story that apparently it's not a great idea to be walking directly in front of a house of idol worship. Which means, certainly, if I would ask you, can you go inside? Well, seemingly, what would you say?
No.
Probably not, right? Okay. Let's do one more source. Two more sources, and then we'll discuss a little bit. Okay? Two more sources, and then I want to have some discussion. So look at source number three. This is Tosfot. Okay, Tosfot is one of the commentaries on the Gemara, on that Gemara that we just did. Look what he says here. He says, Mikan yesh lomod, from here we can learn, shederech lahachim petach avodah kochavim, kol masha yachal. The proper thing to do is to distance yourself from the house of idol worship as much as you can. Do not come close to the entrance of the house. And we said before that maybe that's talking about, he says it's talking about idol worship, which is not exactly the way we saw the Gemara. In source number one, we said in that Gemara that it's talking about the prostitutes. But whatever it is, Tosfot is saying here from the Gemara, we see clearly that the appropriate thing to do is not go anywhere near a house of idol worship. Okay.
A house of idol worship can be interpreted in many ways.
Hold on. So let's wait 1 second, then we'll get to it. Okay.
Yes.
All right. Next source. Source number four. So the Mishnah says here. It's a Mishnah of Masechet Avodah Zarah as well. It says here, "Ir sheyesh ba'avodat kochavim, chotzela mutar, chotzela mutar." If you have a city which has a big idol inside, okay, a big statue of, let's say, Buddha. Okay, Buddhism is probably Avodah Zarah according to most opinions. Let's say a big, humongous statue of a Buddha in the city. Anybody ever been to a place in China where they have big statues like that? What?
Everywhere you go to get your nails done.
Have you been there? You're talking...
In China. Everywhere in America.
Right. I guess that's true. I don't know about where you guys come from, but maybe you're right. In America, it's also pretty bad. What? Did you say? Okay. So yeah, Buddha is conquering the world, right? Not so good. All right. So the question is, are you allowed to go into the city? Look at this. So it says, if the idol is outside the city, you're allowed to go in. Okay. Meaning basically, it's like this: if the idol is inside the city, you're allowed to walk outside the city, and if the idol is outside the city, you're allowed to walk inside the city. Then it says, can you go to the idol? Let's say you know that the idol is wherever it is. Can you go towards the idol? So look what it says. Bizman sha derech miyuchedet l'oto makom asur. V'im che yochol l'alech ba'al makom acher mutar. It says, if the path is only a path that goes to that idol, then you're not allowed to go there. And if it's a path that goes to multiple places, then you're allowed to go there. So the first question I would ask you based on this, does it sound like from here you'd be allowed to walk past house of idol worship,
no,
according to this?
No, because you're going somewhere else.
So if the road continues and you can go to a lot of other places past it, then it sounds like it would be okay. But look at Rashi. Look at Rashi in source number 5. Rashi comments on the Gemara, Ma'alech L'sham, can you go in there? He says, what does that mean? Ota ha'ir. Can you go into that city? B'yom avodat kochavim shelahem. L'saper imechad mibnei ha'ir. He says, can you go into that city on the day of their celebration? Okay, let's say that that idol is having a celebration on that day. It's the day of December 25th. Beautiful. Can you go into a city that has a big, humongous church inside? That's the question. And the answer is, if the road only goes into the city, you can't go in. Even if the city might have a lot of things in the city. But if there's one road that goes into the city, and you know you're going, the road goes into the city, and the city has a church, let's say, for example, or a Buddha temple, and it sounds like you can't go in. Because there's idol worship in the city. And if it goes somewhere else, in addition to that city, then maybe you can go. Why is that? I don't know why that might be. Exactly. So Rashi says on the last line in source number 5. Okay, the very last 5 words in Rashi. He says, you can't go in because there's suspicion that maybe if you're going into the place with a big church, maybe we're afraid people might think that you're going into the city to worship in the church or in the house of idolatry. Okay, so everybody got this? So according to Rashi, what's going on here, okay, is at least on the day of the idol worshiping holiday, maybe not every day of the year, that's another question which we're not going to get to now, but at least on the day of the idol worshiping holiday, you would have a problem of actually walking into a city if the road only goes into the city because we're afraid that you might go worship that idol. Either way, it seems clear from here, would you be allowed to walk into the building, seemingly?
No.
Would you be allowed to walk right past the church, even if you didn't go inside, according to this? Maybe not. Now, who wants to talk to me? Questions about this? How does this apply today? Problems? What are we supposed to do? Other things? Yes, Racheli.
We live in a secular world. Most of us live in cities that have big...
Right. Raise your hand here if you live in a city without a church. Raise your hand here if you live in a city without a church. I think I'm the only one. And why is that? Because, no. Tel Aviv probably has churches, actually. Really? Is that true?
Some people consider Tel Aviv the holiest city because...
That's so interesting. I have no idea. Really?
Yeah.
I guess, you know, it makes sense, I guess, because Tel Aviv is totally new. They built it for the first time like 100 years ago. All the other churches in Israel came from places that were already interesting. So anyway, my yeshuva is new also. My yeshuva is called Yad Begim. We only have Jews in our yeshuva, except for some workers. 700, you know, whatever. 700 families. So I don't have any churches, but every single other person here, obviously you guys all have churches in your cities, right?
Yeah, I have churches.
Okay, obviously. How can you go outside of Israel unless you go to China or places like that and not have churches? Okay, almost impossible in the Western world. So Racheli says, what in the world are we supposed to do? For goodness gracious, how can you live if you can't walk past a church? Every single main street that you're going to go on in your city, whatever it's called, is inevitably going to have a church that you're at least going to have to walk past. So again, Rashi says that on the day of the holiday, you can't walk even into the city. That's really difficult. But let's say every other day of the year, it seems like you still can't walk past the building. How can you walk past the building? It seems like it's a real problem. What'd you say? That's a great question. Does Sunday count as a Christian holiday? And the answer is, maybe it used to be today, probably not as much anymore. Sunday, yeah. It probably used to be that maybe that was a holiday. Even religiously, there was a whole question about that. We're not going to get into it now, but Tosfot, actually on the Gemara, actually asks that question. He says, when the Gemara says that you can't do business with non-Jews on their holiday, Tosfot says, what are we supposed to do in Christian Europe 700 years ago? Sunday every week was a holiday. How can we do business with the non-Jews that want to do business with us on Sunday? And he comes with the whole thing, whatever. Today, we would say basically that today, Sunday is not really a holiday today. How many even Christians that go to, you know, Mass on Sunday? Is it really a holiday? Do they really not do any work? Not really the same thing, but an excellent question. Yeah.
Being invited to like friends or colleagues' wedding,
okay, so we're getting there. Hold on, we're getting there. We didn't quite get there yet, but we're getting there. The first question is, what are we supposed to do about this whole thing about walking past the church? That's question number one. What else you think would be a practical application that's relevant to you guys today? That's difficult about this point. Has anybody here, maybe you shouldn't raise your hand? Has anybody here thought about going to a church or had a good reason to go to a church, or know somebody else that? So again, you don't have to specify which one. I don't want you all to confess here. It's like confession is wrong religion, but you know what I mean. Right. Yeah.
Like, a church, like an ancient church.
Okay, so we have a lot of questions. All right? We have a lot of questions here that you can ask. All right, you want to put these on the board. You can write this down if you want to write this down. Okay? There's tons of questions you can ask. Question number one. All right? Can you walk into a church which is, let's say, an ancient church, which is not really used so much today anymore for a church? Anybody here go sightseeing? Go on the tour, you know, touring? Especially in Europe. There's tons of churches like this. Even in Israel, there's a lot of churches like that, that are big, you know, tourist landmarks. And you want to go inside. Can you go inside? Question number two. Has anybody had other reasons why they needed to go into a church in your own house? In your own town, I mean. So whoever mentioned before, would you say? Okay, that's another idea. Whoever said you have, I haven't seen that so much, but that definitely could be. Who said before about having either friends or weddings or something in churches?
Yeah.
That's a very practical thing. Again, I don't know how many of you have friends here that are not Jewish that are going to have weddings in a church, but there definitely will be some people like that. That's a real question. Are you allowed to go inside? Maybe you can't go in. Let's say it's somebody from your family who's intermarrying, which we don't want, but let's say. Let's say that they're voting in the church and you have to go in order to vote. Anybody have that?
Yes, we have voting.
What are you supposed to do? I can't vote. I'm not allowed to vote because I can't go to the church. Let's say you have some other community meeting inside the church. You can't go. Let's say your graduation is in the church. I've heard this one before. College graduation was held in the church. Can you not go to your college graduation? These are real issues. Okay, comments and questions. What's your name?
Shayna.
Okay, yes. Okay. Funerals. Whose funeral are you going to?
My grandmother, like, I'm in the family. My father went to the funeral in the church. Is that... okay.
Good question. What do you think?
I think it is, but I don't know what the Torah.
Why do you think it's okay?
Because it's not that,
like,
it's not useful. Like, it's not perfect. He's not
going to
end.
Yeah.
There's
okay.
Wedding
okay.
And
okay. Okay, so we'll have to talk about that in just a minute.
Okay.
Who else?
I
yeah.
Bad,
you
know?
Jody.
What about using a church hall?
Yeah.
An activity.
Excellent question. Can you use a church hall for some sort of activity? Yes. What's your name? What? Oh, Gil, wait a second. You're actually in this class. I'm sorry. Yeah. I don't know. I assume you're. Okay. Sorry about that. Talk to me.
My school went on trips. I went to public school, so we went on trips to old churches and like we looked at them. And I have cousins who've been married in churches, and like my grandmother, like. She was angry with them, but she still went to their wedding.
Right. Okay. So is that okay?
I don't see why it's not. Like, you're doing it for family. And, like, my friends, like, who went on the trip, like, I wasn't in school yet, but, like, when they went on the trips, like, they just said, like, they didn't worship the idols in the church.
Good. So we're going to have to do here is basically divide this question into maybe two different categories. Two different ways, really. Let's put on the board here how to divide this up. So there's two main problems with going into a church, which we sort of mentioned already. We already mentioned both of them, actually. What are the two main problems that we've had about going into a church?
Policies.
We've sort of seen them already. Anybody sort of can tell me what they are?
It's the policies.
Remember your name again?
Shayna.
Shayna. Say again?
The polytheistic thing.
It's a what?
It's got more than one God.
So what? So why can't they walk in?
It's a Hobazar.
What's a Hobazar?
Serving more than one God.
Serving more than one God. Do you serve the God by walking in?
No.
You gotta pinpoint what you're saying, fine tune it just a little bit more.
So wait, why you can't walk in?
Why can't you walk in? Let's say you're not going
to
bow down. You can't stand. What? Okay. So, idea number one is that the Torah says, this is what we saw in the beginning of the sources, you have to distance yourself from Avodah Zarah. So, walking into a church is going very close to an Avodah Zarah, and the Torah's point is that idolatry, because it's one of the three cardinal sins, you have to die rather than worship Avodah Zarah. So there's an idea that you can't go anywhere near an Avodah Zarah, which certainly means that you cannot walk, you can't go into a house of worship, of idol worship, because you can't get too close. Okay? Fine. What's reason number two that we saw so far? Why you can't go? Why you can't go near? Exactly. Okay, suspicion. Okay. Can everybody see these two reasons here? Does everybody understand this? Hello?
Yes, sir.
Yes, do we understand this? We have two different ideas here that are playing themselves out as to why we can't go close to a house of Avodah Zarah. Okay. Now, ready for the next step? Hello over there. You guys ready for the next step?
Yes.
Okay. Let me ask you a question. All right. Do you think there might be a difference in terms of some of the practical halakhic points between these two reasons? Meaning that maybe certain cases might be okay according to one reason, but not okay according to the other reason. Maybe certain aspects of the church itself are okay according to the one, not the other. Any ideas?
Yes, maybe that's... if you're distancing yourself from Avodah Zarah,
let's say there's like the church room and then there's like the worshiping room.
Beautiful. Okay. Rachel, right? Excellent. Okay.
Yeah, maybe if it's like an old church and they don't worship there anymore. It's just
a
historical site.
Make a church into a shul.
What?
A mitzvah to make a church into a shul.
A mitzvah? I don't know if it's a mitzvah, but it is. It's halakhically possible, but even to do it halakhically is only okay after they've canceled the status of the church. It's true, but if the non-Jews never decided that it wasn't going to be a church anymore, then you can't do that. There's like an halakhic mechanism that you have to. If the non-Jews never invalidated the church as a place of worship, like as a mental thing, then you can't do that. It still has to worship. What? That's the question. We said before that we assume that for Jews, Christianity is considered to be idol worship. Remember? Even if for them, maybe it's not. For them, it's a question. But for us, if it's a place of idol worship, then we can't do that. So we need them to decide first, this is not a church. And once they decide it's not a church, then we can go in and, you know, make it a shul. But obviously, you've got to remove any aspects of a church. Okay, if there are any little statues, you know, little icons left over, things like that, you got to get rid of them. Okay, that should be obvious too, right? Okay. So now, let's think here about the next step. Maybe there's a difference between the sanctuary and the other parts of the church. Okay. Who can explain to me how this might play out with these two reasons here? Meaning, what might you say that maybe would be, which of these reasons would be relevant in the sanctuary and which of them might be not relevant in this case? Say that again? I think you got it flipped, but I'm not sure, maybe I misunderstood you.
That like going into the sanctuary would like cause suspicion if somebody sees you walking into the building, even though you're only going into the sanctuary.
You know, you're only going to the sanctuary? Well, that's the question. Which do you think is worse? Is it worse to go to the sanctuary or worse to go to the other parts of the church?
Sanctuary.
Wait. Which one is being more out of worship? Okay. You got a little confused. Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah. Sanctuary is like the shoulder.
Yeah. Okay. You want to walk in the sanctuary and start singing praises? You know how the songs go? The church choir? I'm not going to sing it now, but you just go on the, you know. You think it's worse to do that or you think it's worse to go into the social hall? I was getting a little scared there. I was like, I don't know what's going on here. Where do you come from? But, what? Kiddush?
I thought I was going to be part of
Shul. Okay, let's get our terms straight here, guys. I don't want any more misunderstandings here. I'm going to find out the next week she went into a church and went into the sanctuary because she thought I said that you could go to the sanctuary and not the other parts of the church. Oh, yeah. I'm going to be in big trouble with Shemayim if I... Okay, the sanctuary is the room that they worship. Everybody got that straight? You guys all got that?
Yeah.
Okay, we're good now?
Got it.
Okay. Is the sanctuary where they worship, is that room more severe or less severe than the other parts of the church, the social hall, for example? More severe, right? Everybody agrees to that? We sure we're all on the same page here?
Yes.
Yes, okay. So now what we got, basically, is that when you go into the sanctuary, is there a problem of distancing yourself from a Avodah Zarah, would you think? I think that's a problem, you're violating this issue here?
Yeah.
Absolutely, right? This is definitely a problem when it comes to this. Is there a problem of suspicion if you go into the sanctuary?
Yeah.
Absolutely, right? You walk into that sanctuary, for sure... You know, there's suspicion that the reason why you went inside the sanctuary was to pray to whoever's the Lord in that particular place.
Is it really?
No worries, yes.
Like, to what extent is it important what people think? Because, I mean, like...
It's very important. Not, again, obviously you got to do what you need to do. But when it comes to things like this, there's actually an obligation, according to the Torah, that you're supposed to avoid... suspicion, meaning don't do things that are going to cause a lot of people to start wondering why you did it, or something that looks wrong. You can do whatever you want, but the point is you can't do something which looks to most people like it's something which is incorrect. It's the same issue,
correct.
Yeah.
It
is. Well, maybe it's not correct. Okay, we're not going to get to this now. There's another similar issue of walking into a non-kosher restaurant, okay, which again is not for now, but in general, in principle, most of the time, you're not really supposed to walk into a non-kosher restaurant. Why? Because even if you're going in innocently just to get a drink of water, go to the bathroom, but, you know, people that see you walk in would think that you're going in to sit down.
There's more of a guy thing, though, because, like,
A guy's wearing a kippah, so he looks like you can tell that he's Jewish, but you can't always tell if a girl is Jewish.
That's true. You guys think you don't look Jewish?
A woman from your shul that you know how she's
very, I would beg to differ.
I'm saying, let's say you don't go to shul or everything, or like you're not really involved in your Jewish community, and you're walking into a non-Christian restaurant. No one's gonna know.
Alright, Gil, do you have any friends?
I have a lot of friends.
Baruch Hashem, I'm glad to hear it. That's what I thought. Okay, I didn't doubt you at all. Don't worry, but. Is it possible that maybe one of your friends might happen to walk by right at that moment?
Most of my friends, I
don't want to know the answer. I'm scared to hear the answer. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah.
No, most of my friends aren't Jewish because I went to Catholic school.
Okay. I got you. Okay. If you tell me that all you don't have any Jewish friends and there's no suspicion whatsoever from anybody in your community that would see you walking in and say, "Oh my gosh, she went into a non-Christian restaurant. Look what's happened to her." We could talk.
The thing is, people like you know that my friends aren't Jewish.
I understand. Okay, so we could talk about your specific situation, okay? For most people, okay, most, I'm not going to say normal, because God, not that you're not normal. Most people have some friends that are Jewish and are part of a Jewish community where if they walked into a non-kosher restaurant, the first thing that somebody would think if they saw them walk in would be, wait a second, why did they do that? They might think afterwards, oh, well, maybe they went to the bathroom, maybe this, but the first thing that people would think if they saw you walk in, they would raise an eyebrow and say, wait a second, why did they walk into, you know, the most fancy non-kosher restaurant in the city? You understand? So again, without getting into the details of your particular case.
Maybe they had a meeting. What if you have a meeting with...
Oh, excellent. Okay, good, good, good. You're absolutely right. Come to Kashrus and we'll talk about it, okay? In a few weeks, we'll talk about it. So the answer is there are some exceptions to the rule. And here also, there might be some exceptions. But the thing is, if you walk into a church, if any Jew sees you walking in, they're going to wonder, why are they walking in? And that's going to create suspicion. Now, if you walk into the front door of the church and you walk to another part of the church, and somebody sees you outside, they see you walking in, is that still going to still cause suspicion?
Yes.
Absolutely. So therefore, what are we saying, guys? What are we saying so far? We're saying that this problem is more of an issue when it comes to the sanctuary. It may still be in the question here also, but this part is a little bit less of a problem, distancing yourself from Avodah Zarah, a little less of an issue when you go to other parts of the church than it is when you go to the sanctuary. The suspicion issue really applies to both. Okay? Are we good so far? Questions? Yeah.
What about like in the Holocaust or suspension position where children were put to statues to survival? That could be considered to go to Nefesh if they don't actually serve the idols, but was the three things you're not supposed to do without?
You're absolutely right. That's a very big question.
So would that be considered the right thing to do or not?
Most of them were led to doing that. Like by the time the end of the war came, they didn't believe that they were actually Jewish. Remember, the rabbis couldn't tell. They felt like they were actually Christian.
So then that's what they
did. Sorry?
Yeah, the little kids were like serving, like keeping the halakha in secret and.
So it's tough, okay? So I don't want to get into this now, but it's a really interesting question. You guys should be aware that particular issue of sending kids to, you know, to Christian schools and stuff like that was a very controversial one at the time of the Shoah. A lot of rabbis actually forbade it. A lot of rabbis said they actually shouldn't do it. But yet, a lot of people did it anyway, and thank God they did, because at the end of the day, some of the people that survived only survived because they went to those places. And this is what's fascinating about it. Unfortunately, a lot of those people that survived did not remain Jewish because they never knew they were Jewish because it happened at such a young age. They became Christian. And thus, today, listen to this, guys. What did you say? Correct. The problem is some of them didn't remain Jewish. They became Christian. Which, by the way, listen to this. Today, it's fascinating today. Anyone know these stories? Today, people today in Poland are coming out, they're like 90 years old, there are a few people. And after they're 90, they tell their kids, guess what, you should become Jewish. Because their whole life they hated the Christian. But they still remembered that they were born as a Jew, and suddenly at some point they get a little guilty about it. And at some point they tell their kids find out that really they're the survivors, they're the descendants of Holocaust survivors that were put into churches and never ever looked back. They never got taken out afterwards. which is crazy. And it's crazy that some of these Polish people are actually coming back to look into Judaism now. You guys know about these stories?
Yeah.
So I don't know what to say anymore. I mean, there's wild stories of these young Polish people that are discovering that their grandmother on their deathbed suddenly told them that they're actually Jewish. And they're like, well, what do we do with this? And some of them would just say, well, forget it, who cares? But some of them say, well, that's actually really interesting. I want to look into this more. So at the end of the day, at the time they did it, halachically, it's hard to say that it was okay. Well, maybe you could argue they didn't actually do it directly. I mean, the people that put the kids in, they didn't actually make the kids worship. And the kids could have, you know, been able to say, I'm not going to do this, I'm not going to do that. But practically, it was obvious that's what was going to happen.
But also,
but at the same time, it was difficult because they were going to kill all the Jews, so what are you supposed to do, you know?
So since they were kids, the person it wasn't the kids that were putting themselves into the churches, people were putting them into the churches. So those people couldn't have gone, halachically it's not correct, so I'm just going to kill them. Can't do that.
That's a question, but at the same time, you're supposed to give up.
Morally, if you're saving a Jew, you're still saving a person.
Right, I hear what you're saying. That's a good point, maybe. You can't worship. Meaning, you have to die rather than go to the church. But rather than worship Christianity. But in this case, if you say that you're actively killing, meaning it was so obvious they were going to die if they didn't do this, so maybe there's something to be said for that. Could be. Anyway, that's a really interesting issue, a really controversial issue, and a very difficult issue to think about because it was so hard in the times of the Holocaust. Anyway, so let's leave it at that for now. Any other questions about other parts of this issue before we go on? No.
In terms of thinking, so unfortunately, my father's brother is married, and now his children have been baptized and he got married in the church. Saying. In terms of what overpowers what, shall I buy it? Was my father supposed to go to his brother's wedding? Because, his other siblings didn't know. The other siblings weren't from. They were Jewish, but they weren't from. And my father was from. And then, And then, his mother was like, why aren't you coming to your brother's wedding?
Okay. It's a good question. What do you guys think before we go on? Anybody have any ideas? You're allowed to do it because of Shalom Bayit. Think so? Okay, keep in mind here that we're talking about something which is related to idolatry, to Avodah Zarah. It's not worshipping idols, but it's based on worshipping idols, which is obviously very severe.
I think that the Asher Rabbi, and he got permission not to go into the church, but to stand outside the door kind of thing.
No, my dad's done that before the funeral.
A person who we were really close to who's Christian, she got married outside on purpose so we could do the
test. Wow, that's very nice of them. That's great. Okay, any other comments about that particular case? We'll come back to it maybe at some point. Any other ideas? What do you guys think?
Yeah, I'm not in God, I understand.
Okay. So I'll have to say, it's a very serious issue to go to the church. In addition to everything we said, by the way, some of the other posts can talk about from a more mystical perspective that there are some, for Jews, there are evil spiritual forces that are found inside a church. Again, that's not true for non-Jews, but for the Jews, some of the rabbis say that there's these evil, what they call Sitra Achra, the evil spirit. And if the Jew walks into a church, guess what these evil spirits want to get? Who do you think they want more, the Jews or the non-Jews? They want us. Okay, the evil spirits want us. And therefore, if you go inside, you are spiritually placing yourself in a certain type of mystical danger, which is not exactly a halachic point, but it's a very serious point nonetheless. So therefore, it's not exactly Kabbalah. It's based on Kabbalistic style sources. Okay, I can show you at a different time if you want. It's in some of the contemporary posts can bring down this issue. So certainly everybody would agree, we'll have to see more inside, but everybody would agree that if you could avoid going to the church, it's far, far preferable to not go to the church.
Yeah.
The question is, if you're stuck and your family's going to disown you or whatever, if you don't go in, then you have a real question whether you can go in or not. So the first question you have to ask is, you'll have to see this in a minute, but first what you have to ask is, which part of the church is it in? Is it in the sanctuary or in the other parts of the church? Maybe one could argue that if it's in the other parts of the church, maybe you can say it's a little bit easier to be lenient about it for reasons like Shalom Bayis than if it's in here. You think anybody would say that it's in the sanctuary, you can go in the sanctuary?
No.
Much more difficult. Okay, much more difficult. Even if you'd say you can go in the church, to go in here, in the sanctuary is very, very difficult to allow. Almost.
I went now for my cousin's wedding. She's not married yet, but I'm saying when she is, she's been baptized and everything. She's going to probably have a wedding in
right.
the church.
So that's very, very difficult to allow. Okay, what some might say, and this is what you mentioned already, the first thing to say is whether you can get away with standing outside Okay, that's question number one. Question number two. Shalom Bayit and not being stoned by your family, whatever it is.
But Judaism, it's okay to stand back then.
It's not great, as we saw already, but it's not hard. It's not the worst thing in the world. Okay, if there's something going on there, again, what about suspicion? Are people going to wonder why you're standing outside a church?
No.
Why not?
I mean, maybe you just needed some fresh air.
Some fresh air. The air right outside the church happens to be much fresher than the air down the block by the synagogue, right? Just happens to be a little better. Why would that be?
I'm saying you're standing outside in a suit and everyone can see there's a wedding going on.
Right. Oh, good. So that's a maybe. So if everybody can see there's a wedding going on, then is the issue of suspicion as much of a problem?
No.
Maybe not. Now let's say you have to go inside.
It's
if you have to go inside.
Worse, no, because the wedding's in the church.
Oh, so that's the question.
Are you going to the wedding in the church?
Is the wedding a religious thing? The answer is yes, but it's not specifically religious in that. You know, if you don't actually go inside, you're standing outside. I don't know. I hear what you're saying. It's a good question. I'm not sure. Yeah.
Should the issue of suspicion be completely irrelevant in the first place if there's the whole idea of assuming the best of other people and of Tamara and...
So the answer is that's true. That's true.
Why do we even consider that? It's a bigger of a bearing itself.
All right. What's your name again? Shaman, right. There's two Shamans? There's
two
Shamans. Three Shamans. Oh, wow. Three. Okay. Popular name. All right. Shana number one. Which one is Shana number one? Okay. Shana number one. Let's say that you saw Shana number two walking into a church. What would you think? The first thing you would think, your initial reaction, your gut feeling.
Going into the church toilet.
What's going on here? Why is Shana going to church? Okay. Now, when you think about it a second time and think about, well, there's a mitzvah that you're supposed to judge Shana number two properly for the best, Damachav Schus, so then what do you think?
Maybe she's going there for a faster.
Shana number one is supposed to say that. Otherwise, she doesn't really believe it. Come on. Shana, tell me, what do you think? Maybe she's going in for a permitted reason. Okay, good. Is she helping to judge you favorably, Shana number two?
Yeah.
But everyone's initial reaction is going to be like, exactly.
Hold on. Oh. So Shana number two. Maybe I should just use the last name. Are you guys from the same place?
Yeah, where are you from?
Australia.
Melbourne.
Sydney. Okay, fine. I know Sydney and Melbourne don't like each other usually. Okay, fine.
Yeah.
All right. No. So Sydney Shana.
Really?
Sydney Shana, okay? I have a question for you, right? Even if she's trying really hard to judge you properly, but you can see she's struggling. Shana from Melbourne is struggling to judge her sister Shana from Sydney proudly. She knows that, you know, Sydney, some things happen that are not so, you know, we're not going to talk what's going on over there, but she realizes you also have a responsibility to make sure to do things that don't look inappropriate, so that Shana from Melbourne will make sure that she thinks that you're a great person.
But I would have missed, like, an extremely important event, like, let's say a funeral. If someone, like, in my family had passed away and were wanted to be buried and have the whole event in the
Okay,
family,
so basically you're already cutting to the chase. We're not going to have time to get to all the sources today, but, right. Okay, so that's what you could do. The question is, does the halacha say you're correct? And the answer is, every case is a little bit different. But the way that one could try to be lenient is basically what you're saying. Okay, basically what we mean to say, that to go into the sanctuary is very problematic, okay, based on what we're saying. Really, really, not okay. But to go into the church or outside the church, it is just that suspicion. Okay, so Shana from Melbourne knows that you know, she walks past the church. Okay, let's say she walks past the church. She goes to Sydney to hang out with her friends there for a day for some reason. Maybe she went to go to Kiruv. She went to go to bring you closer to Judaism. Okay, very nice. She sees Shana from Sydney going into a church. Now, the first thing she thinks about is, hey, wait a second, that seems a little strange. Jews in Sydney obviously like Christianity better than Judaism. That's terrible, right? You don't really think that, right? Okay, good. Well, she might have thought that. Fine. Now, what else does Shana from Melbourne see going on that might lead her to reconsider? If you're going in for a funeral, what do you think she saw? What do you think she sees happening?
She
says,
sympathy.
No, what does she see, though? What does she see happening? She sees a lot of people going into the church. They all look really sad. She sees a big black limousine outside, which, again, I don't know happens by you, by us. In America, that's what happens. A big black limousine taking out a coffin and walking inside with people, and people are crying. So the question is like this. Is she going to think, okay, that you are going to go worship Christianity if she sees you going inside?
No.
The answer is maybe not. Maybe she'll think that you're going to a funeral. If it's clear to people from the outside that you're going to a funeral, then maybe the issue of suspicion doesn't apply. In which case, again, this is all b'di'evit. This is all not ideal. This is all only if you're really, really stuck and you have no choice and family, whatever it is. But in that situation, maybe there's room to say that there's room to be lenient if it's obvious why you're going inside, that you're not going inside to worship, you're going inside for some other purpose, and therefore maybe the suspicion doesn't exist as much. Again, that still may not allow you to go into the sanctuary because you have to distance yourself from the Avodah Zarah, but to go into the Rosh Hashanah building, the church has a lot of other parts as well as the sanctuary. Maybe this issue is not as relevant, and maybe this one you could argue is obvious why you're going in. Maybe not such a big deal. So that's the way. Again, this is really not ideal. I'm not recommending you should go to a church for any reason, but if you really need to and you have no choice and you're forced to whatever, so that would be the way that some Rabbanim would try to be lenient to allow you to go in, which is a legitimate leniency, but I'm saying you can't always use it automatically. You have to really discuss every case individually. You understand? Okay, you guys are still friends? Good. Baruch. Yes?
So, sorry, just one more thing.
Yeah.
So if you really can't get around it and you have to go into the church, for a man, does he wear his tits out and wear a kippah?
Oh.
For a woman, does
good
she
question.
Wear a skirt down to the floor, or does she just wear a skirt covering her knees? Or like,
does she wear a tichel or a shekel?
Does she wear a tichel or a shekel?
Good question. Good question.
She wears tits small.
Huh? Yeah, kippah and tits is much more like, maybe you wear your kippah because you can't take it off really, you wear your kippah to the door of the church.
Good question.
It's not so sharp.
Good question. Good question. So here's my thing. Okay, we have to talk about this more. We're not going to have time today because our time is almost up. My thing would be that if you're going in for a reason which is justified, meaning you're going in for some reason which is obvious that it's not to worship there, then you'll be justified in wearing Jewish clothing, which means either keeping your hair covered, kippah, whatever.
I think it's disrespectful.
If you're not going in to worship, then I think you shouldn't be worried about it. Certainly a hair covering for a woman is fine. Just wear a shetel if you're not sure about your tichel. Okay, at least wear a shetel. That's fine. Some people can't tell. Even if they can tell, it's not offensive. For a boy wearing a kippah, again, you know, I don't think he should be going to the sanctuary anyway. If he has a good reason to go to the church, then I think he should be allowed to walk in. Why is that disrespectful? Because for Christians, Christianity realizes they came from Judaism. Okay, they know they came from us. So they respect us. Our problem is that from our perspective, they, you know, went away from Judaism and started killing all of us for 2,000 years. For us, we feel that their idolatry is, you know, something which is much more offensive for us to be wearing a Christian, you know, a cross by walking into a shul, etc., etc. Again, that is also a good point we have to discuss more. It's not so simple, obviously, but that's, you know, that's something which is a separate point. Okay, let's finish up here. I want to read you one more story, and then the rest of this discussion we'll have to save for next week. Okay, sorry you guys won't be here, but just look at source number 7 for a second. Okay, this is the Shach who's quoting the Rambam here, and look what he says. He says, "Katav Rambam in Perash HaMishnah." The Rambam says in his explanation on the Mishnah, "Ulefichach yodelecha." You should know, "Shekol ir shal umo avodah kachavim." Every city of non-Jewish idol worshippers, "Shiyelahem beit tefila or tifla," that has a house of worship. Okay, "Shohe beit avodah kachavim belisafek otahir asur lavurba." That basically, that city, you can't walk into the city because of the halacha we learned originally. He says, you can't intentionally walk into the city. The kol shekein ladur bah, you can't even live in the city. Whoa! You can't live in a city that has a church inside. Now what do I do? Look what he says. Aval be'eit shanachnu tachat yedeyim, but in a time that we are subject to the non-Jewish rulers, basically a time of exile, avodu teinu in our sin, v'shochnim ba'aretzam, and we live in their lands, anusim. Okay, we are... we're onus. It's not our fault. There's nothing we can do about it. We're forced. We've fulfilled for us what it says in the Torah, and you will worship there other gods of human creation, eight of heaven, wood and stone, etc., etc. Okay? So basically what he's saying is that that's a curse. It's bad. We have to fulfill this pasuk that you have to worship other gods. You don't have to worship them. What he means is that you have no choice. You've got to live in their city. Even though technically you can't really be in the city, in some cases, but today we have no choice, therefore we can live in a city. But then he says, Vim ha'ir dina came, but that's the halacha for the city, kavachor b'in avodah kachavim atzma, certainly the house of worship itself, shu asur lanu kiamat lir oto. He says it's almost forbidden to even see the building. The kol shekein likanes, but certainly to go inside. So again, just to see here from the Rambam, that we have to be very careful. Even if I'm telling you, sometimes there might be certain, you know, leniencies for going inside, this is a very severe thing. Okay, if he's saying you almost can't even see it, and certainly can't go inside, you have to be very careful about when you would be allowed to go into a church and when not to go into a church. Okay? So whatever exceptions there might be would be very limited to cases, again, of the type of mission before. Maybe we'll finish that next week. But you just have to realize this is a very serious thing. Anytime you have a question about going into a church, I think the only thing that you can do that's appropriate is to ask a rabbi. Okay? You can't just assume it's okay, because it's definitely not okay. Only if you speak to a rabbi who can hear all the factors of your case can he give you, you know, a thought-out answer, an appropriate talk of whether it's okay or not. Yeah? What about it? Great question. I think the answer here is that it's different because this is our city. This is not a city of Avodah Zarah. And even if their church is left, you know. But you're right. Meaning, ideally, what was supposed to be when Mashiach comes, that even the Avodah Zarah in Eretz Yisrael will be destroyed. In which case, again, we may still respect Christians, but you know, the point will be that there won't be any houses of Christian of worship of churches at that time. So we hope for the day. Again, we have nothing against the Christians, but we hope for the day where Jerusalem is the Jewish city, only Jewish city, and we don't need, you know, we don't need to have houses of worship of other people here because this is our home. In addition, you know, to the Muslims, same thing. But right now, we're not, you know, nobody's thinking of getting rid of churches. We're not, we don't do that. We don't destroy other churches in a time that we're not in charge in a way that wouldn't have a very bad impact on everybody else, all the other Jews in the world. We wouldn't do that now.
Is it also possible that, I mean, this is very far out idea, but that the rabbis were a little scared of the Christians because of such a lot of crusades? And
they for sure were. But, so what?
To be saying that, like, it's Avodah Zarah, but only for us, is that... It feels like it's kind of like God.
I hear what you're saying, but I think the people that say that, they say that, again, the Trinity, to have a combination is not really, I don't worship for a non-Jew. I was saying it because of what's called the censor. I don't know if they said it only because the Christians were watching. Because some of the ones that said it lived in Spanish lands. They lived in Spain, and at that time Spain wasn't necessarily Christian when they lived. Later it became Christian, but at that time it wasn't Christian, it was Muslim. So I assume when they said that they thought it was still okay. You know, for non-Jews, I don't think they were just saying that because they felt scared that they were going to be threatened if they said something else. But sometimes that is the case. You're right, that sometimes they do say things for the censor that got, you know, X'd out because they were afraid of what was going to happen. The Christians would get to them or whatever. Okay, anyway, so what we have to finish up next time is a little more discussion about the practical halachas of some of the modern posts. Rav Moshe Feinstein talks about this, Rav Waldenberg, Eliezer. They all have shuvas about going into churches, about why it's not okay and how it works. In addition, we got to talk about the question of the museum. We didn't talk about the church's museum yet. We'll get to that, God willing, next time. And a few other aspects to this issue that we didn't talk about yet. Yeah?
So, I've noticed that, like, on, like, most college campuses, there's, like, some sort of statue that's, like, definitely not a guy, but, like,
right.
Touch it, like, as, like, a good luck thing. Like, how is, like, superstition?
Okay, good question. So,
and also, I don't know if this is, like, everybody or just, like, my family, but we're not allowed to daven in a conservative shul.
Oh, so that's not related to this. That's another interesting question. If you want to talk about that afterwards, we can talk about that. Many posts from Hillel was also forbidden. But it's a little bit more lenient than a church because it's not actual idol worship. Okay, as bad as some people might say conservative Judaism is, which I'm not saying that. I'm just saying as bad as some rabbis would say, everybody would agree that it's not nearly as bad as idol worship, and therefore the restrictions are a little bit less. It may still be a problem, but it may be, you know, less. One other point I forgot to mention, and we're ending up with this, guys, is that could there be a difference between Catholicism and the Protestants and the Seventh-day Adventists and the scientific people and all that kind of stuff? Might there be a difference between one or the other? The answer is? Very possibly. Why?
Well, Eastern Orthodox.
Oh, so the ones, the Eastern Orthodox Catholics, they actually bow down to icons inside the church. Do you think that's much worse than some of the other ones? How luckily the answer is? Absolutely. If they actually are bowing down to real idols inside the church, that's mamash Avodah Zarah. That's worse. The Protestant church maybe is not as bad if they talk about Jesus and they talk about Christianity, but if they don't actually bow down, then maybe there's room to say it's not quite as bad as, you know, not as severe as a house of worship. And maybe there's room to say there's more room to allow some of these things we said before. Okay. Yashkoch, everybody. Enjoy your time here.